Ready to lose 40 plus pounds without giving up happy hours, weekend brunches, or date nights? Then it's time to uncover the hidden link between binge eating and toxic relationships and finally break free from both. Welcome to the Hungry for Love podcast with Jillian Scott. Y'all ready? Let's go. Hey, hey, welcome back. All right, we are diving into more of a relationship topic for this particular episode, but I am going to weave in weight loss as well. And we are answering the question, why does this keep happening to me? And this is something that I hear from a lot of people, and I hear it in relationships of like, why do I keep dating the same guy? Why do I keep on attracting jerks? Why does this keep happening? Why does it seem that like he's such a great guy in the beginning and then he turns out to be a total loser at the end? But we can also ask this question around, why do I keep regaining the weight? Why is it that I can lose 30 or 40 pounds just to gain it back again 6 months later? Why can I be so good during the week and then screw it up on the weekend? It's like, why does this keep happening to me? And so we're going to use this episode to talk about decoding toxic relationship patterns. And I would say a large focus is going to be on romantic relationships and that dynamic. But we can also look at it from your relationship with food. Okay, so I'm going to bring these two pieces together. But this idea and this concept came to me when I was talking with my sister, and this was a couple of months ago now. And she was telling me about one of her really good close friends and how this kind of recurring pattern and recurring theme kept coming up. And she was explaining what was happening. And she was like, I can tell something's not right, but I don't know what to say to her. I don't know how to get her to see that what she's doing is not matching with what she said. She said she wanted to take things slow, and now she's not. And she didn't quite piece together everything. But as she was telling me what was going on, I was like, whoa, I know what's happening here. I know. And so I was explaining this to her and she was like, oh my gosh, that's exactly it. That's totally really what is underneath this. And that is one of my gifts, is being able to see things that other people can't, to be able to help you identify and understand the patterns in the cycle and what is truly happening. Because a lot of times when we look at it from this perspective of like, why is this happening to me? We are very much playing the victim, right? We're passive. And it's happening to me. It's not something I can control. It's not something I can change. It often has us feeling very powerless, which that is one of the core wounds of narcissism. And it's going to be one of the topics we cover in an upcoming four-part podcast series. So the first week of July, I'm going to do a four-part series on the core four wounds around narcissistic abuse. And we are going to start with self-doubt, because I think that is one of the, they're all four important. But it's just one of the most challenging ones that we wrestle with on such a regular basis. But powerlessness is another one. And so even this perspective of it's happening to me, I can't control it, I am powerless, that is really important to see, because flags are going off, little flashers and buttons and sounds. It's like, no. Not like there's been some emotional abuse happening. So I see it as a gift. I also see this as a blessing and a curse, right? It's a blessing that I can see what's really going on and how this cycle is playing out and what's really happening and how to solve it. It's a curse because I can't unsee it. I can't not see it. And so I say all of this with a lot of love, and I'm going to give you and walk you through some examples. And I want you to know that a lot of these examples come from my own life. Okay, so this does not come to shame you. This is coming from, I've been there. And I've broken free. And now I want to help you do the same. And so if we can understand why this keeps happening, and if we can take some ownership of it, right? Not just why is this happening to me, but why do I keep recreating this? Why do I keep attracting this type of person? Why am I attracted to them and attracting them in? Why are they attracted to me? So there's a lot that we can unpack here. But I just want to play this out, and we're going to start from the relationship angle, because this really plays a role when we've been in these emotionally abusive relationships. It impacts who we date in the future, and it impacts our ability to lose weight, to be able to talk and think differently to ourselves, to be able to overcome things like shame and self-loathing, to be able to implement consistent habits. These all go hand in hand. We're going to dive into that more next week, but for now, I just want you to sit back and come with me on this little ride. So, have you ever met a really nice guy and you quickly think, oh my gosh, he's the one. He is the one I have been waiting for. He's the one I've been searching for. I finally found him. And he seems to be self-aware and he's working on himself. Maybe he even has worked with a therapist or a life coach. And after about 3 weeks, you're telling him you love him. Right? And some people might say that's too quick, but it's just how you feel. You can't help falling in love. Maybe they're just jealous. And things seem to be going great. You click. He knows you. He sees you on such a deep level. And it's almost like sometimes he knows you better than you know yourself. He sees patterns. And you're left wondering, like, oh my gosh, how did you see that? How did you know? And so you feel seen. You feel heard. You feel understood. But a few months in, you have a disagreement, maybe a little argument. And even though things don't really seem to be bad, there isn't a huge fight, but he breaks up with you. And you're left crying on the bathroom floor, completely heartbroken and confused. He told me he loved me. We were dating about a month before he started talking about getting married and a destination wedding. And now he's telling me he needs to take a step back. What the F? What does that even mean? And you're devastated, you're heartbroken, you're confused, and you think you've lost such an amazing guy. Maybe the only good guy left in your entire country. So you decide to take a break from dating for a month or two. But that lasts less than a week. And then you're back on a dating app, back in bars and meeting people. And then you meet a guy and he just sweeps you off your feet. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is it. I found the one again. But like this time for real. Okay. And now you intentionally try to take things slow with this guy. But you're so excited. You get so excited and lit up when he messages you. You feel like magnets drawn together and you just can't seem to resist his pull. He's mysterious and alluring and he treats you like a goddess. And no one has ever said such nice things to you. And once again, you feel seen and heard and deeply understood. You feel validated and loved. Not just for what you can do for them, but for who you are. You feel wanted, desired, protected, right? There's a very core fundamental level. And this time you wait 6 weeks before telling him you love him, but you just can't hold it back anymore. It's like it's about to erupt and burst out of you. And you move in together after around 3 months and you're basically married. Right? Legally, you're not married, but you're acting as if you are. You start adding one another to your phone plans. You get added to one another's life and health insurance, to auto plans. You are joining each other for family events and holidays. And then you find out he's been cheating on you, maybe even living a double life. And there were little whispers that he was lying. When you think back and you look back, there were things that didn't add up or make sense. You felt confused at times, but you swept it all under the rug. You minimized, you diminished, because you wanted to believe him. You wanted to believe his lies because he was meeting some really deep, fundamental emotional needs for you. And so you had to play along. You didn't want to see the truth. You didn't want to accept the truth. Because if you really saw it and you really accepted it, you would have to realize that he wasn't who he says he was, didn't really love you, he didn't really value you. And it wouldn't just be turning him away. It wouldn't just be walking away from him. It would be walking away from getting so many of your emotional needs met. But you end up breaking up, and this time you decide, all right, you are really for real now, really going to take things slow, right? No dating for at least 3 months. But then a guy, maybe already in your world, just professes his love for you. And although you briefly try to resist, he's persistent. And to be honest, you like it. You like being wooed, being courted, being the center of his world and his attention. And so after a few days, you start out just exploring friendship, really wanting to take it slow, like really desiring this, telling yourself, telling other people you're taking it slow. But you find yourself talking to him every day, missing him when you don't see him for even a day or two. And before you know it, you are all in. And just like the last few guys, he breaks your heart. And once again, you feel like you're not good enough. You're never enough. And the more this keeps happening, the more you keep wondering, why me? Why does this keep happening to me? What is wrong with me that this keeps happening? And the hard part with this cycle is that you have to get to a place of hitting rock bottom. That is the only way that you can stop. That's the only way you can break free and you can break out of this, is you have to hit true rock bottom. You have to be so hurt and so heartbroken, so devastated that you finally wake up and you do something about it. You finally have a moment where you're like, holy shit, I can't keep doing this. I have got to figure this out. And you find a therapist or a coach or a program or someone well-versed in emotional abuse, codependent habits and patterns, because this is exactly what is happening. This is the pattern of codependency in relationships, is that you keep seeking your emotional needs from someone else. And typically these were needs that were withheld or you didn't have access to, they weren't available, they were needs that were not met as a child. So you have these really core wounds, core fundamental wounds, to feel love, praise, validation, self-worth, to have compliments, to feel wanted, special, desired, chosen. So this is why this keeps happening, right? When we ask this question, why does this keep happening to me with relationships? It's because you are making somebody else responsible for your emotional needs, specifically a romantic partner. And typically, it's whatever romantic partner you're attracted to. So if you are a woman and you are attracted to men, we have traumatic childhoods, we have emotionally unavailable parents, whether it was one or both. And so you did not get certain needs met. And so you look to that now in a romantic partner because you never learned how to create that for yourself. That's not something we really have the awareness or comprehension or ability to do as kids. So you don't know how to meet that for yourself. You just know you're dependent on someone else. And because you didn't get that from a parent or a caregiver growing up, you're looking for that from a boyfriend, from a girlfriend. And this is why you get trapped on that hamster wheel, is because you keep looking for somebody to meet those needs. You are emotionally still a bit of a child here, but you also then end up seeking out and attracting somebody who is also fairly emotionally unavailable, immature. But that's it. If we really look at why does this keep happening, it's because your emotional needs are wrapped up in somebody else and you don't know how to meet them for yourself. You want to solve this? You've got to identify what are those emotional needs and how do you meet them for yourself? And then it's the practice of breaking it. It's the practice of getting into this and being able to walk away, being able to step back, being able to learn how to meet those needs for yourself first, and then learn how you want to show up differently in relationships. It sounds common, easy even, but it can feel harder in practice because it's not what we know. It is very unfamiliar. And again, remember, anytime something doesn't feel safe, it's going to feel unsafe, and your brain is going to see that as we might die, like straight up. That does not feel safe. That's not what we know. That is not familiar. Therefore, we might die. That is how your brain meets that. So we just want to hold so much love and compassion and space for ourselves as we are working through this and figuring it out. And just like with relationships, we can be turning to food to meet our emotional needs, to alcohol to meet our emotional needs. And so emotional eating, binge eating, emotionally drinking, these are forms of codependency. We are looking for something else to meet our emotional needs now. And this is why emotionally abusive relationships often go hand in hand with emotional eating or emotionally drinking habits, because we are used to something or someone to meet certain emotional needs for us. That's it. That is the core of it. We are just so used to getting our needs met outside of ourselves in some way. It just becomes so easy to do that with food or with alcohol when we've been trained to do that with people. It's a coping mechanism. It is not an addiction. You are not addicted to food. You are emotionally dependent on it. It is meeting emotional needs. You are not addicted to a person. You are wanting those emotions. You're wanting the receptors of your brain to light up so that you can feel the way you want to feel. Loved, praised, valued, wanted, special, desired, chosen, right? It's going to be different for everybody, but you need to figure out your core emotional needs. So how did you feel with those people? How do you feel with the food? And this is why it can feel so hard to stick to your diet. It's why it feels so hard just to say no. It's why it feels so hard to cut out food. When food is your coping mechanism, and then we want to take it away, we're taking away the only way you know how to cope. It feels terrible. No wonder we jump to other coping mechanisms. No wonder I realized, oh, I'm not going to emotionally eat. I'm not going to emotionally drink. But then I was turning to a dating app for a while to get that hit of dopamine. I was still having men meet my emotional needs, and I had to learn how to shift that, how to break that habit, break that pattern. I hear this phrase a lot of like, why does this keep happening to me? With weight loss, again, it's like, I can lose the weight. I can lose 20, 30, 40 pounds, but I always gain it back again. Why does this keep happening? Or with relationships, like, oh, I met a really great guy, but then somewhere along the lines, things changed. Or I thought I met a great guy and turns out he was just a frog. Why does this keep happening? Again, from this victim mentality of you have no control, it just happens to you. And so we need to look at codependence and codependency in relationships because it makes it really hard to, number one, walk away from red flags at the first red flag. We want to be able to see the red flags and walk away at the first one. Not be like, is it really that red? It looks a little pink. I think it might be a little bit orange. Right? And literally he is one giant flaming mix of red flags. Or you'll think to yourself, you'll be like, maybe this is a red flag. But then you smush it down. You're like, maybe this is love bombing. I think this might be love bombing. But yet it feels so good. You don't want to walk away. You don't want to let it go. You might know he's not good for you, yet you feel so drawn, so pulled in, and it feels so hard to walk away. When they are meeting your emotional needs, of course it's going to be hard to walk away because you're not just walking away from the person. You are walking away from core wounds being met because you haven't met them for yourself. But people will show you who they are, usually in the first 3 months. I would say 1 to 3 months, right? They are going to show you who they really are. They will show their spots with their actions, okay? So don't just listen to the words they tell you. Simply saying, I love you is the lowest form of love. Anybody can say they love you. Anyone can say words. It is no skin off their back to say, I love you. But to show up with love, right? Love is an action. Love is a verb. Are they showing you they love you? Or are they just paying you lip service? And this is really hard when it's a parent, when it's a sibling, when it's maybe a spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, somebody that maybe you've been with for years, and you're noticing that they can say, I love you, but their actions don't align. This is where we have to pay attention and we have to be willing to tell ourselves the truth. But we can only tell ourselves the truth. We can only stop lying to ourselves when you're not getting your emotional needs met by them. Otherwise, you're going to keep burying your head in the sand. You're going to cover up your eyes with your hand and be like, I don't see any red flags. Everything looks great. They're such an awesome person. It has been wild to see the amount of growth and awareness and lessons that I have learned in 2 years. Like, it has been wild and so good, so eye-opening, so impactful, so helpful for me. So helpful for my son, too. Some other things that I've learned along the way. It's not just how they treat me when they're happy or when I'm meeting their needs or I'm meeting their expectations. The real test is how do they treat me when they're upset, angry, frustrated, stressed? How do they treat me when I do something they don't want me to do or they don't like? How do they treat me when I don't do what they want me to do? It works in both situations, both ways, right? When I am not showing up the way that they think I should or the way that they want me to, this is going to show you who somebody is. Watch their actions. Don't just listen to the words. And this happened recently. This happened in February. I went on 2 dates with a guy. And then when I told him no and I didn't do what he wanted me to do, he went off and sent me a series of 3 emails just insulting me. So the first initial response, he was very upset, very insulted, started just insulting me. And then he ended that email with, "Lose my number, loser." Okay. 46-year-old man calling another person whom he had 2 dates with, calling her now a loser when he was like so infatuated with her a week or two prior. Then he proceeded to send me 2 additional emails just to tear me down, just to insult me. That was a real quick block. I had no problems blocking this fool. And I was hurt and I was angry, but I also knew I want to spend as little emotional capacity and time on this fool right here. Absolutely not. I don't have time for that. And if anything, I also want to feel very grateful that he showed his colors real quick. I had already broken things off with him. I already told him I wasn't ready to be dating. And just listening to that little whisper, I didn't fully understand. And I still thought he was like a good guy at that point. But this just confirmed, nope. We need a lot of space, like maybe forever. Let them show you who they are and pay attention and believe it. Watch their actions. And I could do that so much better with him because I wasn't using him to meet my emotional needs. In fact, part of why I thought we needed to break up and I needed to break things off when I did was because I felt like he was needing me to meet his emotional needs. And I didn't like that. I was like, nope, something is not right. We're out of alignment here. How do people treat you? Not just when things are going well, not just when they're happy. How do they treat you when they're stressed, when they're angry, when they're frustrated? They will show their true colors here. The other key lesson that I learned is if you are confused, that is a huge red flag for dysfunction, potentially also emotional abuse. If what they're saying isn't consistent and it's confusing, like they say one thing one day and then a couple days later, they say something else that seems to completely contradict or conflict, red flag, there's something dysfunctional happening. When what they're saying isn't consistent with how they're treating you, so when they're saying they love you, when they're saying these things, yet they're not treating you with love and respect and kindness and reciprocity. And then consequently, like how they're treating you then likely isn't consistent. So anytime you feel confused in a relationship, this can be with a romantic partner, it can be in a working dynamic, it can be with friendship. If you are confused, that is a sign of dysfunction, most likely a sign of emotional abuse. This is a really good thermometer for anytime you feel confused, no, something's off, this is not right, this is not healthy. And if you have a hard time leaving, it's because you are getting emotional needs met. There's an emotional dependence on this person to meet needs for you. And that's why you can't walk away, even when you feel confused, even when there are red flags. The other part, and like one thing I didn't put in my notes here would be, if you get this sense of they're not telling me the truth, but you have to keep lying to yourself, you have to stay in denial because you have to keep playing the game, you have to keep up the charade. It is a self-protective mechanism when you keep lying to yourself and sometimes then lying to others, but it is a form of protection because you're like, I'm finally getting these needs met. I can't let them go. I can't let them walk away. I can't leave them now. And when we have experienced abandonment wounds, we are terrified then because we know what it's like to be abandoned. We don't want to abandon somebody else. So we go above and beyond and far out of our way, often for people who don't deserve it, but we try so hard not to abandon them and we end up abandoning ourselves. And I'll talk about this more again next week, but just want to throw that out there. Put that as like a placeholder, put a pin in this, but this is what ends up happening. And so when we have this codependent relationship with a person, they're meeting your emotional needs. When there's a codependent relationship with food, food is meeting your emotional needs, okay? Food is the coping mechanism, not an addiction, but because it's meeting your needs, it's hard to say no because it's how you feel better in the moment. It's how you re-regulate your nervous system. It's how you calm. It's how you self-soothe. It's how you feel better. It's how you relax. It's how you unwind. It's how you avoid pain and you avoid negative emotions and you feel more pleasure and joy. And if you're not getting enough pleasure and joy in your life as a whole, food can become a really quick, easy stand-in, where food is the highlight. Food is the primary source of joy. It's what you look forward to the most. And I had to catch myself actually with this a couple days ago. I was going out to eat with some friends and they had picked a spot where I was like, I don't know that I really like this. Doesn't look like they've got a good food options. I don't know about the drink menu. And I realized I was making going out more about the food and what we were going to be eating and drinking than about the people and what we were doing. We were actually watching the final championship game of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I was making that trip more about the food than about the experience and the people and having fun. And I was like, oh, okay. Good that I caught this now. So I need to make sure, number one, that I'm focused on having fun and I'm creating joy and pleasure in my life, that I'm thinking about this experience and this time out in a joyful, pleasurable way, but that I'm not relying on the food to do it. So it doesn't matter where we go. I don't have to be so picky about what restaurant or sports bar we end up at because I don't need the food to bring me the joy or the pleasure or relaxation or whatever else might be going on. This is really good to understand, right? Like, why does this keep happening to me? It's because you keep relying on food to meet your emotional needs. Why do you keep regaining the weight? Because food's meeting your needs. Why can you be so good during the weekdays and you screw it up on the weekends and you feel like such a failure? Because food is meeting your emotional needs. When you realize I'm letting food and alcohol and people meet my emotional needs, now what? And it's why sometimes maybe the weekends maybe feel harder because you're used to dating. You're used to getting certain needs met from somebody else. You're used to coping with food. And now we start to unwind the habit. And so the first step is always going to be to see it. Number one, we got to see it. We got to have awareness on what is actually happening. Number two, we've got to be able to evaluate and look backwards and start to identify what needs are they meeting for me? What needs is food meeting for me or alcohol? What needs is this person meeting for me? And then we start to look at how do I meet that for myself on a regular basis? And this is really important because as I started thinking about things, I was actually just talking and processing with one of my coaches a couple weeks ago, but I brought up this feeling special because even outside of father wounds and abandonment wounds and core issues like that, I didn't always feel special. I felt like my sisters were prioritized or like my sister got two surprise parties, I think before she even turned 13, and I didn't get any. I was kind of like, what the hell? You're planning her second surprise party and I haven't even gotten one. So there were little things along the way where I don't think my parents were trying to make me not feel special. I did get other birthday parties. I got other things, other events. And maybe I was more of type A. And so I was always planning and talking and thinking about a birthday party so they never could. I don't know. But I remember thinking, I was on a client call actually, and I started thinking about, oh yeah, there were other ways in which I didn't feel special growing up. So if a boyfriend made me feel special, if a spouse made me feel special, quote, made me, right? If they were meeting this emotional need of feeling special, it meets this core wound, this core desire. So I have to understand what that means, what that looks like. That's how we start to break the cycle. Because then I get to look at, okay, now how do I make myself feel special? Day to day, week to week, month to month. Things are going to be a little bit different, but on a daily basis, it'll look different than on a once a month basis. But what does that look like for me? How do I make myself feel special? Part of it's going to be how I think about myself, how I talk to myself. Part of it's going to be with what I do. It's getting into this habit, and it becomes easier now to walk away from red flags, to walk away from people, to stop attracting the same narky types of people, to stop getting caught in the same dysfunctional, toxic merry-go-round. We can break this habit and break this cycle so that this no longer happens, but we have to dig deeper. it's more than just dating and relationships and attachment styles or communication. We have to get into the core wounds, the core issues here, just like we do with food. If you want some help with this, I would love to chat. I have not only done this with food and alcohol, I've done this with men and with dating, and it has been so freeing. It's been hard and challenging at times, and yet I always know that this is the work. This is the hard that I want. Life is always going to feel hard in some way, but this is the productive hard that's going to create more of what I want in life. That's going to help me get closer to being the type of woman that my dream man is attracted to then be able to attract my dream man easily, to be able to recognize the self-sabotaging patterns that come up when things do feel too good to be true, when things do feel pretty easy, when you are afraid, when is the other shoe going to drop? When maybe you've been in some pretty dysfunctional relationships and you see a lot of good, but you don't trust it. And you're like, okay, when are they going to show me their red flags? Because there's always red flags. Part of this is learning to trust yourself. And we can't trust ourselves when we beat ourselves up, when we're sitting in shame and self-loathing and anger and frustration, when we're playing the victim. We have to feel powerful. We have to own what is happening in our lives. Because you also need to feel powerful that you can intentionally create the life of your dreams. So if you want some help with this, then I would love to chat. You can schedule your free consultation at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule. It's all one and the same. It is healing from narcissistic and dysfunctional relationships. It's healing from codependency. It's learning to meet your own emotional needs. The dating and the relationships and the weight loss, they go hand in hand. This is the cool thing, is like as you start working on one, you naturally are able to work on the other. And it's like you can do two things at once, side by side. So if you want some help with this, you want to feel more in control, you want to stop this from continuing to happen to you, then let's chat. All right, y'all. I hope you have a fabulous week. Here's to creating the life and body and relationships you crave.
If this episode resonated with you, it's time to break free from destructive cycles around food, alcohol, and toxic relationships. Your next step? Book your free Break the Cycle call, where you'll finally see why your binge eating and relationship patterns are so deeply connected and how to break free from both for good. You'll walk away with fierce clarity and a game plan to step into a life full of fun, adventure, and self-love. Grab your spot now at www.bodyyoucrave.com/BTC. It's time to break the cycle. I'll show you how.